Oh, we might speak to the Lord in prayer. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy great love to us, that through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come unto Thee and we can rest, and we can have that joy that belongs unto Thee. And Father, we would pray that Thou would be with us, as we would look at Thy Word and as we would see what Thy Word has to say unto us. We pray for Thy hand of blessing upon us. Our Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. I'd like to read with you this afternoon in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. The book of Nehemiah is a book that I think is many times neglected by the people of God in this day in which we live. And yet it has many, many lessons for us. So we'll look at Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll read from verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, for the sake of time, we'll go down to verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, all taught the people and said unto them, unto all the people, this day is holy, or most holy, unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy, or most holy, unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day, or on the following, or on the next day, were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. This was on the 15th day of the seventh month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches, pine branches and myrtle branches, and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. And we believe that God will bless this portion that's been read to us. This particular chapter, chapter 8, is the climax of the whole book of Nehemiah. All the events in the book of Nehemiah lead up to this chapter. And this book of Nehemiah begins with a man with a tremendous burden. This man has heard a report concerning the children of Israel dwelling in Jerusalem. And as he has heard this report, he finds out that these people were in great distress. They were suffering emotionally. He finds that they were in debt. They had suffered a great loss, and they were continuing to suffer loss. In chapter 5 of Nehemiah, he deals with that problem of their debt that they were suffering. And then he finds that they were people in great discouragement. And the circumstances of their life had caused them to become discouraged. Now, when you think of those three things, you can apply it to today. Many people today, they are in distress, they are in great debt, and they are discouraged. And then he finds out as well, not only that, but they are in reproach. And they are failing under the criticism of others. Some people seem to be avoiding them. And so Nehemiah has that great, tremendous burden. And that burden, he takes it to God. And he lays out his heart unto the God of heaven. And he calls him the God of heaven many times. A better understanding of that would be the same expression as is used in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is talking. And he says of Abraham, that to Abraham, the God of heaven, or the God of glory, appeared unto Abraham. And Nehemiah lays out his burden to the God of glory. Who is the God of glory? Well, that's the God of promise. He has given them a promise. And so Nehemiah lays out his heart to God in prayer. If you read through this book of Nehemiah, you'll find that there are 12 prayers given. Now, that's interesting because the number 12 in the Word of God speaks of God's governmental dealings. And God had dealt in government with the children of Israel. They had failed to keep God's feasts. And as you read down in verse 17 of this chapter, not since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, had the Feast of Tabernacles been kept. That's a period of 1,000 years. And they hadn't kept the Feast of Tabernacles. They had failed. And as we read in other portions of Scripture, we find they hadn't kept the Sabbath year. They hadn't let on the seventh year, they hadn't let the field lie fallow. And we find that as we read in the Word of God that they had turned their backs upon God and they'd gone after other gods. And God was not pleased. And God dealt with them in government. And now we find in here that Nehemiah is praying. Praying, and he's laying his heart out before God. And Nehemiah's prayers are very short. 7 or 8 words. And he prays. And he prays in private. And he prays in public. And he prays on every occasion. And we have 12 prayers given to us in this book of Nehemiah. But Nehemiah goes on. And if we look at this book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah finds that there are some physical things that need to be taken care of. And those physical things, the walls were cast down. The gates were burned up. And Nehemiah begins to deal with the children of Israel on the basis, first, of their physical need. And then he deals with their spiritual need. And so as we look at this book of Nehemiah, we find it can be divided in two parts. And the first part, the first six chapters of Nehemiah, deals with the separation of the people of God. That God's people need to be separated. They need to build those walls. They need to reestablish those gates, which would speak of their uniqueness in the world in which they live. That they were a unique people. And that they had a testimony amongst the people of God. And that was the physical things. That were the things that the world would see. And you know, we can separate ourselves. And we can be really separated. And it all comes to us. And that separation. But Nehemiah recognized that children, these people needed more than just a physical separation. The separation would be visible to the people. But what about God? What part would God have in their lives? And so the second half of the book of Nehemiah deals with God's part. First, there was the separation from the world. Then there was the sanctification unto God. And the children of Israel, these people living in Jerusalem, had to grasp the fact that they not only must be separated from the world, but they must be sanctified, set apart unto God. And without that sanctification, the separation would be just legality. It would not please the heart of God. And so Nehemiah sets that out, and he deals with this in this book. But then we come, and I said that we come to chapter 8, and I said chapter 8 was the climax of the book. Because this chapter is all for God. Everything that we have in this chapter is for the glory of God. The other chapters deal with the children of Israel coming to this place. And it's interesting that I find that this is chapter 8. Because the number 8 in the Word of God speaks of a new beginning. And these people have now a new beginning with God. You know, it's remarkable. Because of the work of Nehemiah and the establishment of the walls and of the gates, and those walls and those gates and all the features there have a spiritual significance. They each one tells us something more of what we need as believers. But the number 8 speaks of a new beginning. The children of Israel have entered into a new beginning with God. And for the next 500 years, they dwell in Jerusalem. And the Jerusalem stands as a testimony. And when does Jerusalem fall again? It falls when finally the children of Israel turn their backs upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we look at this. Nehemiah chapter 8 can be divided into three sections. We have section 1, the first section is from verse 1 down to the end of verse 8. And it speaks of one of the feasts of Jehovah. There were 7 feasts of Jehovah recorded for us in Leviticus 23. But this feast, upon the first day of the 7th month, was the Feast of Trumpets. On the morning of the Feast of Trumpets, when that morning dwelt, as the sun came up, there would be the blast of 2 silver trumpets. Now, if we were to look at it, those silver trumpets in the Word of God, they speak of God's Word and the Spirit of God and the blowing in harmony together. And the people were to be gathered to hear the Word of God spoken. And this is what we find. they gather. And to emphasize the spiritual character of this day, you will find that Ezra, the scribe, is told to bring the law. Verse 1. But he's not the scribe in verse 2. He's Ezra the priest. He's now functioning for God as a priest. He's bringing before them what God's word says. And you'll find that they give their full attention to the word of God. They're careful about what's going on. Then, there's a period of time between the end of verse 8 and verse 9 of approximately 9 days. And so then we have the second section from verse 9 to the end of verse 12. And this takes us to the most holy day in the calendar of the children of Israel. And the most holy day for the children of Israel was the Day of Atonement. And three times over in this section, we're reminded that this is the most holy day unto the Lord. He's talking about the Day of Atonement, the second section. Then, verse 13, to the end of the chapter, speaks of another day. And this is days of remembrance. And we find in here that as we come to the end, that it is referred to as the day or as the Feast of Tabernacles, when the children of Israel on the 15th day of the 7th month would dwell in booths. And as they dwelt in booths, it emphasizes again that they were in remembrance of the word of God. See what it says. Also, day by day, during this Feast of Tabernacles, from the first day until the last day, he read in the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. So for 7 days, the children of Israel would rehearse what God had done for them. You may remember that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses, in speaking to the children of Israel, says these words, "Thou shalt remember all the way in which the Lord thy God led thee, to prove thee and to try thee, to see what was in thine heart." And you know, as I think of this Feast of Tabernacles, I think, what about our life? Do I, in my life, seek to remember all the way that the Lord led me? Do I seek to remember how God has blessed me? How God has taught me lessons? How God has closed doors in my life? How God has opened doors? Do I remember those things? And because I remember them, do I thank God? Is my life a life of thankfulness? It's an attitude that I might be thankful. Last week, our brother was speaking to us on the book of Colossians in chapter 3. And there are two verses in chapter 3. And one speaks of thanksgiving, an attitude. Then the next verse speaks of thanksgiving, an action. Do I have that attitude of thankfulness and that action of thankfulness? And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles speaks about. And it's drawing before the children of Israel this idea that they were to be a thankful. And not only were they to be a thankful people, but they were to be a people who rejoice. And so, as we look at this, these feasts that were being brought before the children of Israel, we're reminded that it never, not since the days of Joshua, had it ever been celebrated, been neglected. You know, as I was thinking this morning about this, and I was thinking, you know, I wonder about our assembly here, because the focus of this is in it with the view of a local assembly. About our assembly, could they say, not since the days of so-and-so had all the members of the assembly been at a prayer meeting? Why wouldn't that be something? If every member of our assembly appeared at the prayer meeting on Tuesday, how long would it have been since they all appeared? That's the same kind of idea as we have here. The whole of the, all of the people had assembled for the Feast of Tabernacles. And so there's much more that we could talk about these this chapter on Nehemiah and about the whole of the book of Nehemiah. But our time is gone, and I would like to just to think you to think again. This is all for God. The first day of the seventh month, they gather that they might remember God, that they might hear a message from God. And then in verse 9, we have the 10th day of the seventh month, and they gathered that they might offer to God that sacrifice of atonement. And then verse 17, we have the 15th day of the seventh month, when the children of Israel might gather, that they might remember all the way in which the Lord had led them and guided them and preserved them. Now, I mentioned that there were seven feasts of Jehovah. Is there reference to the seven other feasts? I believe there is. When we turn to this second chapter and verse 1, we find that Nehemiah is in the first month of their calendar. In the first month was the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits. And Nehemiah has spoken. And Nehemiah is in effect the representative of the first fruits of the people gathered to God. Then when we come to chapter 6, we have these words, in 52 days the wall was completed. Why are those numbers significant? Because from the morning of the Feast of First Fruits until the Feast of Weeks was 50 days. But from the beginning of the Passover until the beginning of the Feast of Weeks was 52 days. And we have that number significant, telling us that this work which went on in the book of Nehemiah was a work of the Spirit of God, that God was leading them. And Nehemiah tells us this. Chapter 2, he reminds us that God had put it in his heart. Chapter 7, he tells us again, God had put it in his heart. So it was a leading of the Spirit of God. I would trust that perhaps maybe I've piqued the interest of someone in the meeting tonight, this afternoon, and you might be interested in taking a look some more at the book of Nehemiah and the interesting things that the book of Nehemiah tells us. Our time is gone, so we might close in prayer.